I was paid to do this.
This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Alien-a-thon, sponsored by Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, where we will be discussing Aliens versus Predator Requiem. I am Ryan. With me, as always, is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
And thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the full metal patron. And Ben,
the fourth
patron of hope. And our newest patron, a special thanks to Mia the Fifth, the Rainmaker.
She makes it rain, yo.
Yo, she makes it rain.
I'm going to get one of those guns that shoots singles. That's going to be her Christmas present.
That'd be great. I wonder if you can shoot magic cards out of those.
We can find out.
Because I'd like to fill it full of basic mountains and go after a couple people.
Okay, we'll find out. I'll buy us one.
Speaking of Magic the Gathering, the Alien-a-thon is brought to you by Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Mount Morgantown, West Virginia, the Mall at Robinson, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas, who, if he were a predator... Oh, what am I talking about?
Yeah,
he is a predator.
What do you mean, if?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, trigger warning. We watch and read a lot of things where things happen to children, but not usually... Babies and pregnant women.
Yeah, I didn't want to spoil anything, but I was like, oh boy, he's really not going to like this.
No, I didn't. So if you're particularly upset by babies or very, very pregnant women having terrible things done to them, maybe skip this one.
Yeah, I mean, the director just went, oh, what would happen if a horrible creature was in a small town and just decided to show it all?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so our history... with Aliens versus Predator Requiem. I've never seen it. Your turn.
Was not the biggest fan of the first one, but then I saw the trailer for the second one. I was like, oh, that looks a little bit better. Found out it was R. I was like, oh, okay, so it's going to be gorier. That's kind of what you wanted.
And it was.
And then I went in and I watched it and I was like, huh, that was kind of stupid, but at least they killed a bunch of people this time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically my thoughts on it in one sentence.
Yeah.
Might have skipped the babies, but other than that, yeah.
I remember one of the dudes I saw it with was also very upset that they killed so many children in the movie, and I was just like, ah, I guess.
What's funny is I thought the first like third of it was the worst part, and I was super like disenfranchised with it really quickly. they killed the first kid with the chest burster, and I'm like, wow. They killed a child with a chest burster, and I don't even care. That's how bad this movie is. And then they got to the nursery, and I'm like, okay, I care. Make it stop.
I think one of the reasons you don't care about the first kid nearly as much is because he's not new. Like, you don't get any. It's just random child.
Usually, I don't like it when random children get hurt, but I was just already very done with it.
It was very Hollywood stylized too.
Yeah.
Where they get to the hospital and it's all filmed super dark and dreary and it's taking itself so seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. There
all
we
right.
are.
We'll table the rest of that for scary shit.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition. I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Jumping into background, this film is directed by Greg and Colin Strauss. They also directed the movie Skyline in 2010, and they have not directed another movie since.
Oh, no.
they do own the special effects company Hydraulix, which did the special effects for movies such as 300, okay. The Day After Tomorrow, Volcano, and Poseidon.
I mean, those movies all look decent, so...
Yeah. And the film was written by Shane Salerno, who wrote Avatar The Way of Water and is currently set to co-write with James Cameron the next three Avatar movies. He also wrote Shaft, the Samuel L. Jackson one, and Armageddon. I haven't seen Avatar. I gotta imagine it has a little bit of a higher writing quality than this movie, but I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I like the first Avatar movie, but not enough to see the second one.
Mm-hmm. If you're set with James Cameron to make four movies that are gonna break records, like, you gotta be like a decent writer, I guess.
I have a theory when it comes to the writing of this movie is overcorrection, where they hear the criticism for the AVP.
They heard half the criticism.
Yeah, they heard half the criticisms. It's the same sort of thing that when I hear criticisms of Man of Steel, and I go, okay, but whenever Superman Returns came out, everybody complained that Superman didn't throw a punch.
I like Superman Returns.
And so, when they wrote Man of Steel, they're like, okay, make sure he throws punches.
I like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool that he had an illegitimate kid, but I am not the core demographic for Superman movies.
I like Superman and Lois Lane having children. I don't know how to feel about it being a baby that she doesn't remember conceiving with Superman because he erased her memory.
Yeah, that's a little date rapey.
Yeah. That's like, because she consented at the time, but then he erased her memory.
Yeah, so,
but then, like, didn't tell her about it, and she's pregnant. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's, I'm not sure how exactly it's wrong, but it's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong on some level, and yeah. I can't figure it out.
Okay, so this film was released November 4th, 2007. It's the sixth film in the Alien franchise and the fourth film in the Predator franchise. It is a direct sequel to Alien versus Predator, and I learned that the title of this film is Aliens versus Predator Requiem, not Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Hmm.
So I've been trying to correct myself. This movie had a budget of $40 million and brought in $130.2 million. So still another Alien movie that isn't very good, still making a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
The original title was Alien versus Predator Survival of the Fittest. It's a little long.
Yeah, I think Requiem is better, but I still think Requiem is still like a... Like, what are they requieming?
Yeah, and it's a very generic Hollywood title. Yeah. At least it's shorter.
It's like the title Resurrection in the title.
Survival... Well, Resurrection, like, they resurrect...
At least they actually resurrected something.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Survival of the Fittest does make sense, though. This was filmed in British Columbia, which, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. This film was generally panned by critics for its poor lighting, its editing, and its lack of originality.
What?
Originally, there were plans for a sequel, which you can tell by its stinger ending. Well, not stinger, it's teasy.
Yeah, teasy ending.
However, that was completely abandoned, and they decided to take both franchises in independent directions. Mm-hmm. We got the Adrian Brody Predator movie and Prometheus. And I just thought this was fun, blast from the past. On April 15th, 2008, Alien vs. Predator Requiem was released on DVD, Blu-ray, and PSP UMD disc.
I forgot that PSP did that. I had Advent Children on that.
Probably because it came with the system.
Yeah. They're like, hey, do you want some more Final Fantasy VII, Daniel? And, you know, college me was like, yes, wearing my trench coat.
I mean, did you sit and watch Final Fantasy Advent Children on your PSP?
No, never did.
It's funny, though, because people do watch movies on their phones now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can almost never bring myself to.
It's very rare. Yeah. I've done it when traveling, and that's about it.
I can do, like, long-form YouTube content, but
I'll watch YouTube on my phone all the time.
But I don't... A lot of times, I'm not even looking at the screen. I'm just listening to it.
Yeah,
so.
And then some quote-unquote accolades. For the 2007 Golden Schmoes Award, it was nominated for Biggest Disappointment of the Year. For the 2008 Golden Raspberry Awards, it was nominated for both Worst Prequel or Sequel and Worst Excuse for a Horror Movie. And the 2008 MTV Movie Awards, it was nominated for Best Fight Sequence. It won none of these, but...
Okay, yeah. Worst Excuse for a Horror Movie is really funny. Best Fight Sequence.
Maybe it was a slow year. Hold on. Never Back Down, which I don't know anything about.
It's a fight movie.
Jumper.
I have not seen.
The Bourne Ultimatum.
That has some good fight sequences.
Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
And Rush Hour 3.
Okay.
I would have gone with Rush Hour 3 or Spider-Man 3 over... Honestly, if I don't know why the fight sequences in Iron Man, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian aren't...
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I guess because of their fantasy.
Never Back Down has some pretty good fight choreography, especially if you like actual martial arts, because they like showcase different ones.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, and that's right. In Rush Hour 3, they fought the real big guy, Sun Ming Ming.
Oh, the basketball player from China?
He's 7'9".
Holy shit.
That's a big old man.
He should play the next Alien.
Oh, my God. No, or Predator.
Or Predator, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I would watch AVP3 if he was in it.
I am Giant Predator.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle. Good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
Structure and themes. So the thing that jumped out to me is it's Alien on a more grand scale than we've ever seen. There's more people, more aliens, more kills. You get to see aliens basically attack an entire town. And it's always been like versus a very small group of people. Like, the crew of a ship, the 20 or so prisoners in a prison. Like, this is a bigger, more grand alien movie.
Yeah.
Which I guess I like on paper.
I liked it on paper. I would have done something completely different, but we can talk about that later.
I guess that premise is responsible for what I like about the movie, which is more violence and more kills, which you wouldn't have gotten with, like, aliens versus, like, six people. So another new thing for Alien movies, this is small town horror.
Yeah, which usually I really like.
I think the issue is...
The characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I mean, you get just the absolute bare bones for character development.
They do every cheap Hollywood trick in the book to try to make you pretend to care.
You've got the guy who just got home from prison, and he's trying to take care of his brother.
My brother's on the wrong path.
And his friend from high school is a cop.
Yeah.
And then you've got the mom who comes home from the military, and her daughter is not adjusting to her being home.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's bullied in high school who likes the popular girl. And that's like it. That's like, I just explained all the character development in like 30 seconds. He gets beat up by the jocks.
If these characters have an arc, I was too dumb to pick up on any of it.
No, I don't...
They are pretty much just who they are at the start of the movie and at the end of the movie. Just some of them happen to live.
I guess you could say the events bring the brothers closer together, but I mean... Yeah.
But it's more out of, like, necessity.
So they don't die.
So they don't die.
Yeah.
Rather that... And it's not like they learn something about each other or learn to... Not that there's something to forgive, but, like, usually there's, like, some sort of message.
I mean, maybe there was. We don't know. Maybe there...
It wasn't conveyed well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you want some schlocky, gory, I'm just watching people die sort of stuff, then maybe you don't need that, but...
Which I'm okay with sometimes.
Yeah.
The horror violence in this, it was fine.
Yeah.
But if there's going to be, like, zero character development, zero story, then I want the visual aspect of the movie to be, like, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Or so bad it's funny.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't either.
It just kind of mid.
There was a lot more body horror in this than what I feel like a typical Alien movie has.
Yeah. They've really leaned into it, especially with the Pred Alien and its impregnation kink.
I'll talk about the Predator alien later.
Oh, I have plenty to say, too.
Oh, my God. At least that was something new, and it was something I appreciated. There was also, like, some slasher elements with, like, the Predator, like, chasing around the good-looking teenagers and the yelling and the screaming and through the school. And
sometimes that was kind of funny, but not as funny as it needed to be.
Yeah.
I feel like if they were going to lean into stuff like that, they should have leaned into that harder, or they should have leaned into, like, trying to make it an actual serious movie more.
Mr. Alien Guy, how does this fit within the Alien canon?
All of these prequels are easy to fit in if you want them to. Like,
as long as you have enough dissolving liquid.
Yeah. They erase the evidence of it. Yutani gets a pred gun, which, you know, could explain how they start to develop such advanced technology and how they basically become the only superpower by whatever year.
Well, them and Walmart.
Yeah.
Because Walmart eventually throws them out. So here's my question.
Okay.
So, like, the whole time I'm watching it and the Predator, whose name is Wolf... I know, it's just, I swear to God, his name is Wolf.
It fucking is not.
It is. Oh my God, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't. I never cared enough to look that up.
Oh, no, I swear to God, his name is Wolf. Hold on.
Why did they name him?
Because he's a lone wolf. He's a singular predator. Wolves are pack hunters, you dumbasses. Okay, hold on.
Lone wolves usually die in the wild.
I swear to God, his name is Wolf.
Where's his cub?
I'm so glad you didn't know that.
He should have gotten a little boy to carry around. Wolf. Yeah, I mean, there it is.
Yeah, Wolf. Wolf is the main protagonist of the film Aliens vs. Predators Requiem. And it's PSP video game of the same.
There's a PSP video game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. His name is Wolf.
He's a veteran. Okay.
Hobbies: hunting.
I hunt.
Goals: hunt to kill the pred alien along with the xenomorph spawns. Eliminate the evidence of the xenomorph. Okay. So what I was gonna say is, like, the whole time he's hunting, he always pulls out this, like, dissolving liquid and melts the bodies. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, well, okay, well, obviously this is, like, the producer saying, we've got to make this fit within the alien canon, and there can't be aliens on Earth that the public will find out about. So that's why they're doing that. It makes sense, right? But why did they have to do that when they also have the military just bomb the entire town? Wouldn't that have conveniently destroyed all the evidence without them having to make up magical melting juice?
Yes. But they, you see, Ryan, they wanted to make it look like the Predators also had a similar goal to the military.
The Predators' goal was to preserve the alien canon?
Yes. He read the script, Ryan.
Okay.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Let's go to characters, and I mean that loosely. I didn't even list out...
There's no reason to.
I have three things written down. The townspeople, the wolf, the predator, and then the alien predator hybrid. So we'll start with the townspeople. Like, and literally the only one whose name I can remember is Dallas.
Yep.
And that's because his name is Dallas.
Yep.
Which is obviously a Easter egg for the original Alien movie.
Yep.
In my head, I was making up a headcanon that was like, okay, if this guy survives, then Dallas from the original movie is going to be his descendant. So that's
your headcanon?
Yeah, that's my headcanon.
I didn't remember any of the characters' names. Also, only my second time watching this one.
Second, so you maybe saw third. It when it was in theaters, and then...
Maybe I watched it one other time, but I don't think I did.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be rewatching this one again and again. Like, most of these, aside from the first two, I probably would only rewatch in some sort of marathon situation. I'm just looking at the characters list to see if any of the other ones have names of other aliens. Yeah, and I don't...
Doesn't look like
I
it.
I don't see any other ones.
They might as a lot of them might as well have not been named. You could have just called guy, you know, cop, military mom.
It did subvert my expectations a little bit. When they introduced her, I was like, okay, this is our Ripley. Because we had Antarctica Lady in the first one. who was our Ripley. And I was like, oh, okay, this is our... And then she really wasn't, like, she was one of the bigger characters, but the Dallas, the guy, he was really more like the Ripley of this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not complimenting it. I'm just saying.
No, yeah. I agree. What do you even say about most of these people other than how they die?
Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with lots of characters to get a higher body count. And that's what I like about this movie is all the kills.
And there's some neat kills.
There's some good ones.
The one that made me laugh the most was when, I don't even remember, high school chick, I called her cheerleader through the movie, even though I have no idea if she was a cheerleader. When she's just running at the end and just stuck to the wall.
That's my favorite, followed closely by, Jay and Silent Bob getting their heads blown off.
That was pretty funny.
I like those moments when it didn't take itself very seriously.
I think that part of this movie's problem, and some people like this sort of thing, I've never been a big fan, but there's like tone whiplash.
It goes back and forth between being very serious and not.
Some movies can probably balance that really well. This one didn't.
Yeah.
It just went from, okay, Jay and Silent Bob get their heads blown off. Hey, you want to see a bunch of pregnant ladies have their stomachs explode?
Nope. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, you know.
My note here is, of all the movies we've watched, is this maybe, like, the worst written, like, group of characters? And the only thing I can think of in my head that's competition of, like, a group of characters that had, like, almost no development is...
Roar, maybe?
I was going to say Beware the Blob.
Beware the Blob.
Maybe the Toxic Avenger. At least you get like a little bit more with the main character, but...
Yeah, I mean, they do something with the main character.
Yeah.
This one, character-wise, is going to rank really low for me.
Yeah.
If it's not in the bottom, it's in the bottom, like, 3 or 4.
Wolf!
Wolf.
The Predator!
He was on the search for his cub.
I did like that they didn't make the humans and Predator team up again. Because I expected that to happen.
I far prefer that. Mostly because unless you like really prove yourself to the Predator and Predator cannons, you're a deer to them. You're something to fucking like shoot at its skin on a weekend.
Which Antarctica Lady did, but she had to kill a xenomorph in front of him.
And it sees her do that, and it's like, okay. And that at least kind of fits in the idea of the Predators.
And that was also a teenage Predator, which may have been more easily influenceable.
Yeah.
And we know from the Wikipedia, the wolf is a veteran.
The AVP wiki.
The AVP wiki. Wolf is hardcore, and you know it because he's missing one of his mandibles.
I was going to say, we know because his name is Wolf.
His name is Wolf. You're making that up right now. I swear to God.
The only thing that would have been like funnier is if they would have named him like Dragon or something. I don't know. Wolf might be funnier.
Yeah. I think under his armor, he wears one of those like... Howling at the Wolf t-shirts that you get by on like side of the road.
Oh my god. You know how the Predators are like super tribal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's a white Predator that has a tribal tattoo and collects a bunch of like Native American posters with wolves. He's that dude. that's who this guy is. This is my spirit animal.
What are you wearing?
Come on. It's a casual social outfit.
Looks like you're going to a fish fry, Dwight.
No, they're howling at the moon. It's suggestive to women. Because of howling during sex.
Okay.
Oh!
That's not appropriate.
Oh!
Uncool. Oh! Uncool, Dwight.
Oh!
Okay. Okay, come on, let's go.
Oh! Oh!
Yeah, this is how I picture Wolf's personality now. Like, he is that's Dwight, right?
Yeah.
He is the Dwight equivalent of the Predator planet. Like, that's why he lives by himself and no one wants to be around him.
One other Wolf Dwight moment.
I don't have a lot of experience with vampires, but I have hunted werewolves. I shot one once, but by the time I got to it, it had turned back into my neighbor's dog.
So, in one of the newer Predator movies, The Predator, there is a Predator dog.
Dwight will shoot it.
So Wolf just shot it. Thinking it was, like, an alien Predator. A Pred-alien. By the time I killed it, it had turned back into the Pred dog.
Okay. Let's talk about the alien-predator hybrid.
Oh my god, it should have been the only monster.
It took me a while to figure out what it was. I thought it had something hanging out of its mouth.
Yeah. Because the movie's super poorly lit, so like a lot of the time...
I think the first scene you see it is in the sewer.
Yeah.
And it comes like up out of the water, and I was like, is there seaweed like draped across its head?
No, apparently that's not hair. They just hang off the predator's heads.
I was confused.
Yeah. I would have preferred if it was the only thing and they played up the slasher vibe and it was murdering everybody and it was like a cat and mouse game, the predator's like trying to hunt it down to get rid of it.
Or it could have had done like a Jurassic World thing where instead of countless raptors there's like three.
Yeah.
So and it has like three xenomorphs.
So that you like wolf has something to kill.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the design when you can see it.
It took a while for me to get like a good look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I like when you don't get like a good look at the monster, but still you have to understand what it is in this kind of movie.
Yeah, like
otherwise you're just confused.
And also, we're six movies in. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like, we're not waiting for the big reveal. It's not like the first time you get to see a xenomorph in Aliens.
Yeah.
Like, or the first time you see a predator.
Like in Resurrection, the baby alien should have been in more of it.
Yeah.
Instead of just being right there at the end making out with Ripley.
And I'm just like, you know, just show it to us so we get to see the cool thing. You worked hard on the costume.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe it looked really bad in lights, but I don't think so, because, I mean, like when you got to see it, it looked fine.
Yeah.
I like Wolf's design, all right. It's not too over the top like a bunch of the ones in the past have been, so it didn't look as rubber suity. Predator's weapons were sort of cool.
Did they always have that whip?
No, I think this is the first time I ever saw it.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to give, like, each time you see a Predator, they add some new stuff.
Okay.
So it's not just always the laser cannon or always the claws on the arm.
Claw boomerang things.
Yeah. A lot of things do make repeats. The net that you saw in AVP was first in Predator 2.
The net was cool.
Yeah, so getting to... I didn't bring that up when we saw that movie, but that was cool to see again.
Yeah, I like that. I like the... I don't even know what you... Like, the remotes that it set out in the sewer,
mm-hmm.
and then it would, like, blow the aliens into the lasers, and the lasers would, like, slice them up.
Yeah.
This movie had more of that kind of stuff, which, to me, made it more watchable than the first one.
I definitely think it's more watchable.
I don't know if it's better... It's definitely better in some ways.
Depends on what you're looking for, is what I would say. If you're looking for a movie you can show your son, you use the first one.
Yeah.
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 And if you're looking for a movie... Because you just want a bunch of gore.
This one.
Yeah.
I'll kill you all! I'll drive you crazy, and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Let's go to scary shit. Is this movie scary?
No, I think some scenes are gross.
I was unsettled
by
the predator, or no, the alien creeping up on the nursery of babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scene with all the pregnant ladies, but not really. It's too ridiculous to be, like, scary.
Yeah. It struck me as very, like, edgelordy.
Yeah.
Like, someone went,
we're going there.
Yeah, we're going there with the alien versus... And
they did.
There's fans of that sort of stuff, but mm-hmm. it's like when we tried to read extreme horror, I'm just like...
No.
I'm just not a fan.
Yeah.
The implication, I guess, is fine, but you can imply that without showing that much of it.
Yeah.
But if you like it, here's the movie for you.
And there are obviously much more offensive examples,
too.
That's fine. Effects, I thought, were decent.
Yeah. My problem with the effects is how dark and...
That's the lighting.
The lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens in a lot of action movies. There's a lot of quick cuts
mm-hmm.
where it would show you something quick cut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually done to, like, hide things. Poor choreography or poor effects. But the effects that I could see looked fine, so I was like, why are you not focusing on the cool shit?
Yeah, especially since, like, the past, like, three, Resurrection and AVP were just like, they're starting to use CG and it doesn't look good. But this one is the first one where it's like, oh, okay, it looks pretty decent.
Yeah, so... So that stuff sort of disappointed me. I remember thinking the movie was too dark when I saw it the first time.
Yeah, that was, like, the first thing that jumped out at me.
And just couldn't see what was going on. Half the time, I couldn't even see which character just died. In quotation mark, character. Yeah.
The funniest thing for this movie, for me was imagining the producers getting feedback and them and like standing like in a meeting and like some like lower executive is like saying what the people are saying, and then like the higher executive like picks up a laptop and throws it against a wall. It's like, in the first one they say we didn't go far enough. Now in this one we go too far. What do you fucking want from us? And I'm like, that's true.
Balance.
That's true. But you overcorrected, like you said.
Yeah. Franchises do that a lot.
And I don't share this opinion, but it is a very common thing in Star Wars where people are like, Force Awakens is way too much like the original. They need to do something more original, more different. And then Last Jedi comes out. No. This is too far. This is not what we wanted. This is too far left field.
And then they overcorrected again.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah. No, I understand. That discourse, it still happens. It's one of the reasons why I kind of don't go to Star Wars Twitter anymore. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
When I was on Twitter, I was mostly on Star Wars book Twitter,
mm-hmm.
which is significantly more positive, just because everybody's just happy to be reading cool books and have people to talk about it with. So if you really have to get into Star Wars Twitter, try that. Okay, so Kiss Me, Fat Boy. You know what this movie needs? A half-naked high school student. Let's, this girl who's, if they ask, they're gonna say she's 18, but maybe she is, maybe she isn't. Just watch her strip down to her skivvies.
I'm just too used to, people in their mid-20s playing teenagers.
It's very normal.
So I don't even think about it.
No, it's an and I never did until I had a daughter.
Yeah.
But it's a very normal thing to do. Most people would probably watch this movie and not think twice about it.
My opinion, at least as I've gotten older, has been, why don't you just make them college students?
Or it's just like, what does it even add to this movie to just show a girl in her underwear? Is anybody going to an alien movie to see a girl in their underwear?
It's part how this movie tried to be a slasher for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have leaned more into that, I would have gotten it more. But then you have like the Pregno murder and like tonal whiplash.
And
where am I supposed to go with this? It'd be like if I was watching a Friday the 13th film and they showed me like the naked camp counselor, and then in the next scene, Jason like gutted a pregnant woman. I'd be like, well, what was that?
I just want to like write a letter to producers that says, everyone has access to free porn. You don't have to put this kind of stuff in movies and TV anymore. Everybody gets their rocks off elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the thought, but no thanks.
My only exception to that is when the movie's leaning into it, like something like Call Girl of Cthulhu.
Yeah, but that's about like a prostitute.
Yeah, but that's like a completely different sort of movie.
Yeah. That's what I've said, like, in an alien movie.
Oh, yeah, in an alien
movie. Well, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, like, Ripley in her underwear is kind of iconic to Alien.
Yeah.
So maybe it was...
Is it supposed to be a reference?
Like an Easter egg to Ripley running around in her underwear? If that's it, then I kind of feel bad for everything I just said.
I don't know. I think it was titillation and not a reference.
Yeah.
If it was a reference, it was a poorly done reference.
Yeah.
Because Ripley's not, like, shot to... Not that Sigourney Weaver wasn't attractive, you know?
Nuh-uh.
Maybe that Sigourney Weaver is a sexy woman.
Here's a woman that just happens to be in her underwear, like the men are in their shorts.
I couldn't decide on what swimsuit to wear.
Yeah, that's
what... do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So...
She was... It was just...
Titillation.
Yeah.
So... Titillation.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
The power of Christ compels you. Do you think God stepped in and prevented a third Alien versus Predator movie?
To punish me with Prometheus and then the Predator, I guess.
Okay, so I'm gonna say I've now officially seen every Alien movie.
Yeah.
And before the rewatch,
mm-hmm.
in my head, Prometheus is by far the third best one.
I will wait till I rewatch it.
Yeah. My opinion may change with another rewatch.
Yeah.
And this is... And granted, both times I saw Prometheus, I had never seen any other alien piece of media.
This is an alien?
So, when I rewatch it this, like, this week or next week or whenever, I may decide, oh, I hate this. This is garbage. But right in this moment in time, my top three alien movies are Alien, Aliens, Prometheus.
So, you know how we've been saying at least they didn't kill Newt? I was waiting for you to watch this movie so I could go, well, they killed everyone else, though.
Yeah, they killed all the other kids.
Yeah.
Ah! Oh, my God. Are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Let's go to Kings and Koontz. My king is when he threw the spinny boomerang thing and chopped the cheerleader in half. Because I laughed, like, I stopped breathing. I laughed so hard.
That was going to be my king, but just to have something different, I will say I like the Pred alien design when I actually can see it.
And my Koontz, I forgot my Koontz, I have so many. I don't know, I guess it's just like the poorly developed characters. Or the murder of the Prego ladies and the babies, I don't know.
I don't even know. Where do I even start with the Koontz?
I'll say the poorly developed characters, because I could get over murder of children if the story is good, obviously.
Yeah, because I'm not against you murdering children in a story, like, as a general concept. I usually say that there's a right and a wrong way to do that.
It works in, like, a Pet Sematary situation where it feeds the story.
Yeah.
And the situation, but this is really just like a dead baby joke.
Yeah, it's edgelordy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say the characters, because they drag otherwise good things down.
Yeah.
Like the editing and the lighting.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Ranking, your first. I did do mine ahead of time. Spoiler alert, it's not very high.
Yeah, there's no reason for it to be.
I'll just go ahead. I had you first, but I'll just, since it's here. New number 62. My new number 62. Just a couple spots above AVP. Comparing the two, I think what AVP has over this movie is a better premise and a better opening. Ultimately, it's a less memorable movie.
Yeah.
Even though neither of them are very good. Because at least there were visual things that I take away after watching this movie.
Yeah. I can also see this being, aside from, again, the fucking nursery scene, a movie where you can just laugh and eat some popcorn watching it. I don't know. I think I like this more than Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I like it. I'm going to put it right below Phantoms. Because Phantoms, while bad, its characters were slightly better for the small town whore.
All of these movies are worse than Phantoms.
Do you remember when we thought Phantoms was going to be the worst thing we ever saw?
Yep. Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do. All right. Zombie Day. Just a couple of quick ones. Obviously, we already mentioned Dallas, reference to Tom Skerritt's character from Alien. And then also, like, it pained me to hear it.
Get to the chopper.
I was like, oh my God, please don't. sometimes they just do those, like, super obvious, like, callbacks to the original movie, and it's just, like, painful to hear. I'm struggling to think of another example.
It's one of those point at the screen, I got that reference.
Yeah, exactly. All right, homework. Battle Royale of all the alien variants takes place. Which one wins and why? You are going first.
Okay, what all counts as a variant? Like the dog alien from 3?
I'm not. You.
The human alien from Resurrection. The Pred alien. I don't think I would count the queen as a variant.
No, because that would be like a naturally occurring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other variant, because I haven't seen... I saw Prometheus. What was the Covenant? I haven't seen Covenant.
I remember almost none of Covenant.
Okay.
I remember that Michael Fassbender is also in that movie. There's a jungle.
There's a proto-alien in the stinger for Prometheus. So I'll count that. Out of all of them, I think Pred-alien takes it because it seemed to have more intelligence. It could just impregnate all the other ones, I guess. I think the only thing that the human alien has going for it is just sheer size, because it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's going to be enough between, like, the predator intelligence and acid blood. The dog alien was basically a runt in mm-hmm. comparison. So I think it gets squished right off the bat, and we don't have any feats for a proto-alien.
Unless it's just a straight cage match,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to the one alien variant you didn't mention.
Okay.
Which is clone alien Ripley.
Okay, that's fair.
Because she has the highest kill count among everybody.
That's fine. She has the most W's.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I'm going to bet on her.
Yeah.
She bleeds acid.
Yeah.
Do I not bleed acid?
This will be, you'll have your Ronda Rousey moment when she walks into the ring and then gets KO'd first.
That's what I'm saying. If it's a straight cage match, she'll lose.
Yeah, but if you're like taking everything into consideration.
If it's a situation where Superman would win, she'll lose. If it's a situation where Batman has a chance of winning, then I'll vote on Ripley.
That makes sense. No, that's fair. I like that. I like your answer.
Okay. All right. Moving on to questions for the listeners. I keep forgetting to tally up all the votes between Chucky and Chucky and Churchill and Churchill. So
we'll be doing
that. We'll get to that.
We'll do that in like announcements.
Yeah, because we have gotten some comments on those. So thank you to everybody who's participated in that. So our third round, and Daniel came up with this one. I like it a lot. It took me a minute to understand, but I got it now. And it's funny because, well, I'll explain. So for the matchup is John Jigsaw Kramer versus Cosmo Kramer, better known as Kramer from Seinfeld. And Jigsaw is the villain of the Saw
franchise.
Yeah. So they're both Kramer. What's really funny to me is, isn't there a movie called Kramer versus Kramer?
Yes, I was going to make that joke.
Yeah.
Whenever I do an announcement for this one, I'm getting a poster or a scene from Kramer versus Kramer, and I'm going to put their little heads on it.
Nice. Like, the week you, like, told me this, the other show that Beck likes to watch while she's going to sleep. But so when we're going to sleep at night for the first time, she always puts on The Office. If she wakes up in the middle of the night and has to put the TV on, she always puts on Seinfeld.
Huh.
And I woke up at, like, 4 in the morning and Seinfeld was on. And it was the episode where they discovered his first name was Cosmo. And I woke up during that scene. I think my brain heard it and connected it to this and made me wake up.
Okay, so this is also really fucking stupid, but if Cosmo Kramer ends up winning this one, we could put him against Cosmo from the Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
That, I kind of want him to win, just to see that.
Yeah.
I
mean, I guess even if he loses, then he could be fighting for to keep Cosmo.
If he wins, it's the same way, like, Chucky Fenster wins just through sheer obliviousness.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, Jigsaw can lay, like, all these traps and games that could kill anybody.
And he's just busting into rooms and, like, the gunshot misses him.
Yeah. He's just running into theaters and yelling horrible racial old slurs at all these people who are...
Oh, that's his trap, is, like, he can't say the N-word. or the bear trap will blow his jaw off.
Oh my god. Okay, so there'll be a separate short for this on YouTube and TikTok and all that stuff, or you can just comment straight on the episode. But let us know, who do you think would win in Kramer versus Kramer?
Yep.
For further reading, the two movies that this reminded me the most of were The Blob
and Phantoms.
And Phantoms, yeah. I was feeling both of those.
Especially the film versions.
Yeah.
Or the film version of Phantoms, yeah. You knew what I meant.
Yeah. I was just feeling that a lot.
Yeah, me too. Those would have been my two.
Okay, great. So upcoming on The Horror of Babylon this Sunday, our next novel episode, we are reviewing Five Nights at Freddy's The Silver Eyes.
Hooray! So,
the Silver Eyes don't belong to who you think they do, at least not me. I was wrong. But I was wrong about everything in this book, so it's okay. And then our next Sunday episode on October 1st will be The Exorcist 3.
Which is one of my favorite horror movies.
Yes. And then our next two Thursday bonus episodes, on Thursday, November 28th, we are doing Treehouse of Horror of Babylon, Wanted Dead Then Alive, which is the Simpsons parody of Reanimator. And then for Columbus Day, we're going to celebrate Columbus Day on Thursday, October 5th. We're starting a new tradition where instead of celebrating a man who basically committed genocide on a bunch of indigenous people, we're going to celebrate beloved director and producer and writer Chris Columbus, and we're going to do an episode on Gremlins. Yay!
I fucking love that.
Yay! I stole it from Big Bang. They did.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Yeah. All right.
Use what works.
Yep. Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First Breaker, Chains, Mother of Dragons, and...
Logan.
The Full Metal patron. And Ben!
Patron of Hope!
And thanks again, special thank you to our newest patron, Mia the Fifth, the Rainmaker.
She makes it rain, yo.
Rain! And thank you to Forestman Comics and Gaming, which again does sponsor the Alien-a-thon. So make sure to check them out at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it occurred to me, like I've said this 1,000 times, not all of our listeners are local, thankfully. So I should probably also mention, check them out at shop.4horsemancomics.com. So
yeah,
there you go. And if you're checking them out digitally, when you go to check out for your magical cards or whatever you're buying, make sure to add a note on there that says, hopefully this is packaged by Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas. All right, well, thank you for rewatching Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
I was paid to do this.
Me too. Not enough.
There's your clip for the beginning of the episode.
All right, that'll be the cold open. I was paid to do this. Okay, thank you to our patrons. Stay tuned for our socials and stay scary.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that the Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.
Magic time.